Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. It's the last day of September, isn't it? Am I have that right, Jeffrey? How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's like any year you blink and football season's over with.
Okay, but it's not.
I know, but
I mean, last night's games may have made you feel like.
Correct.
What is interesting is college football right now in a better place than the NFL? It's not in a better place than the NFL. But just from the early going, more entertaining?
I just think in general, college football, the regular season is always going to be a bigger deal.
We have more games to choose from. So what happens is if you get, you know.
We didn't put San Diego State, Northern Illinois, and standalone on Monday night.
If you get three great games. The fact that Ohio State, Washington, I'll even take it like a good game, like a game that
sure.
was supposed to be good, really didn't turn out to be of any particular consequence, right? It was just a game. And so we can highlight look, Virginia and FSU was unbelievable, right? Plus, the other thing that happens is the NFL, because there's fewer games and there's all these windows, sometimes you're just stuck with what you got.
Correct. Right?
Like you're just stuck with it. You can't change the channel and get three other games.
Well, and I think even more so now.
I would have last night, to be clear.
It definitely feels like in this year, and I think there have been some numbers to confirm it, the injuries to key players has skyrocketed.
It's also more important. Like if you lose, look at Ole Miss. You lose a quarterback in college football. In some circumstances, it's the end of the world, but not most. It's not built around the quarterback. Like, the Bills are interesting because of Josh Allen, right? The Ravens are really interesting because of Lamar. The Chiefs are interesting because of Patrick Mahomes. If you lose Patrick Mahomes, how interesting are the Chiefs?
Not very.
Not very.
Because you're making the same point last. I had a buddy in a group chat going, see, this just proves Joe Burrow should have been the MVP. And I was like, do you want to take a look at what the Bills would look like without Josh Allen?
It's literally any, but whereas if you lose the starting quarterback, whatever, at pick a school, like where, I'm still interested in that school.
Yeah,
any of them.
I will say Ole Miss made a much more conscious effort to have a backup quarterback. A lot of these schools, what's happening is they're paying the one quarterback and then they can't really afford to pay other people, so they move on. If that quarterback gets hurt,
Even if Ty Simpson gets, I don't know who's their backup.
They do have some young guys.
But if Ty Simpson gets hurt, I'm not interested in Alabama, and I'm not giving up totally on Alabama.
Yeah, you know? They have the young
now. Vandy. Vandy is one that's
correct. They've got a decent backup. Mac Austin and then Keelan Russell's the freshman that everybody's excited about.
So, it's just different. And so you've got this situation where you've got dreadful quarterbacks. Last night, the Jets only have a dreadful quarterback, right? And Cincinnati is now down to a dreadful quarterback. And then the other two, to a Knicks. The Knicks was good. Like they're fine. But that was just dreadful football last night.
I mean, in fairness to Fields last night, like if Braylon
Allen run,
well, like, he had a nice run, but also like if Braylon Allen doesn't fumble at the 1 yard line on the first drive, like all of a sudden that's a different looking game.
It's different.
But neither one of those teams are fun to watch.
The disgust the disgust even bubbled up. At one point, Troy Aikman just,
he'd had enough.
It's just not a good product.
Yes.
Like, Roger could not have been happy to hear that. But it was, he was done. He was over. It was awful. Penalty after penalty after penalty. The Jets had 12. The Bengals had 11.
That crew's a new crew also, and they have quickly established
the crew in the
Broncos Bengals game is a new crew, and they've established themselves as very flag happy.
I mean, you were supposed to have Joe Burrow in that game.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Instead, we had Jake Browning.
And you didn't. So we'll talk more about this. It is another massive day in the world of sports. We got Detroit and Cleveland at noon. And then the Padres at the Cubs, 2, Boston and the Yankees at 5, the Reds and the Dodgers at 8. So we got lots of baseball today. Grizz begin camp in Nashville. Chris Harrington and Drew Hill are even now making their way from Memphis to Nashville. I think we'll talk to Chris in the car. So thank you to Drew for his forbearance as we chat with Chris straight up at 10 o'clock, and then we'll talk about the NFL too. I don't know if we'll mention or talk much about Paul Pinebaum's possible Senate run, but that is out there as well. And then, of course, because it is Tuesday, we have Fish on Friday on Tuesday, preparing to talk about, well, our government may shut down today, tonight, I guess it is, Jeffrey. So that could happen. So no end of excitement. No end of excitement. Plus, I suspect we'll get a Reese's report. Is Charles'
important
latest,
work.
Charles' latest fascination. So there you go. I did think we would start with the Memphis Grizzlies and media day yesterday, and all that was said. Jeffrey, of all the things that were said that you either heard said or heard other people talking about said or saw clips of them said or whatever else, what struck you from the 25th media day in Memphis?
I think I would say the attitude of Ja Morant.
What about?
He seemed to be kind of bouncy, and then like when he was asked about the new system, like, I mean, a lot of this is, well, what did you expect him to say? But he seemed to be very confident coming into media day.
Well, that's interesting. I think, again, it also depends on what form you got him in, right?
Well, 100%. Like, did you get him in a breakout? Did
all
you get
these
him,
people
yeah.
talked in 17 different places. So in one place, they may have been ebullient. There's a good word, ebullient. See, look that up, people. In one, they may have been ebullient. In another, they may have been reserved. In one, they may have been sick of it, whatever else. So we got them in different. And I went to the main media session is what I went to. And I found Ja to be matter of fact, curt, didn't want to say much, honestly, at all. And I mean, here's the truth. It's almost incredible to believe this is year 7.
I know. Well, when the Grizzlies put the graphic out of John Jaren, their first year together. And then yesterday it's like, okay, time is moving.
It's astonishing. It's year 7 for Ja Morant in Memphis. And he seemed to me to be appropriately, let's get this over with. That, at least in the session that where I saw Ja, it was, let's get over. Let's be done with this. He wasn't rude. He wasn't disrespectful. He wasn't rolling his eyes. He wasn't pained. He wasn't, you know, feeling put upon. He just was totally matter of fact. Does like the system. You're right, because it features, you know,
it's more of what was comfortable.
And I do get the sense that enthusiasm for the system is genuine. Like people always, mostly, almost every time, say the right things at media day. If you can't be optimistic at media day, you're effed, right? So, and so they're gonna say the right things. But I believe it. And not only do I believe it, I believe it's one of the reasons that Tomas Isolo is the head coach, is that they knew that it would be a system that would accentuate and unleash the talents of their best player, and would make their best player happy and happy to be here.
I think that might be a big part of it.
And all of that. And so I don't think there was anything that was feigned or whatever. I thought it is genuine enthusiasm for the system. Beyond that, he talked about his body. He talked, you know, whatever. I'll get to what I thought was the most interesting thing about the way this entire season is unfolding. But of the people who spoke yesterday, if we're just talking about what happened on the lectern, generally speaking, the most interesting players were the new ones, right? Like
that would make sense because we've never heard from them.
We never heard from the four, so we get to have an impression. Right, we get to get an impression of them, and also they're a little more chatty. They've never talked to us before. They have new things they're reacting to. They're explaining why they came here, or what they think of here, or where they eat chicken wings, or whatever else. So there's a lot more to talk about. But they're also, honestly, some pretty damn good personalities. I don't know about the basketball part. We'll see about it. But in terms of personalities, like if I'm Drew Hill or Chris Harrington, and Chris relies less on the sort of locker room quote than a lot of reporters do, or than Drew might. But I'm thrilled with some of the additions. Absolutely thrilled with some of the additions, because there's some good talkers amongst that group. So I didn't make much at all of what Ja had to say. And with so much of Ja, it is, okay, let's see how it goes. Let's see if you can stay healthy. Let's see what the emotional ebbs and flows are. All of that. He did seem fortified by a lot of things. Obviously, his trip to China, again, which you can read about extensively in Drew Hill's exclusive pieces at the Daily Memphian that dropped over the weekend. Really interesting stuff about his trip to China. But that someone asked him if he takes pride in the fact that WNBA players are wearing his shoes, and he absolutely does. He said it was one of his goals. Like there is this upwelling of support for Ja. Once upon a time, I think Ja felt like the world was out to get him. He felt besieged by the world. And now it feels like, oh, the world likes me. You know, they like me in China. They like me in the, I think the world is lifting up Ja. And that was evident yesterday. But the most interesting people, I thought, just if you're asking me about who was fun, who was entertaining, it was the new guys. Jack Landau was unbelievable. We don't know. I had this moment where I was hiking this summer, and I met this guy, and I said, "Oh, you're an Aussie, right?" And he said, "No, New Zealand." I know. And so those of us with an uneducated ear could listen to Stephen Adams, who's from New Zealand, and Jock Landale, who's from Australia, and confuse them. Like, they just sound like they're from down under somewhere, right? But he sounds the same, like, to the uneducated ear. And he's as happy to talk, as funny, as cheerful, like he was great. And he very clearly...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He just wanted to be here. Like, he was almost emotional talking about the opportunity. Like, he got a good contract to be in Houston, and then what happened is the roster became such they didn't get to play.
Yep.
Including because they brought in Steven Adams. It's like, whoa, you just brought in a better version of me, and now where am I supposed to play? And so, although he...
They all sound alike.
Although he made good money, all those big white guys from out... Mm-hmm. I get him confused. Although he made good money...
If anyone should get confused, it should not be you. You lived in Australia.
Yeah, I know. Maybe if I focused, I locked in. Anyway, he was great. He'll be highly entertaining. He was highly entertaining. He, by the way, said he was texting with Steve-O yesterday about...
What did he say?
He didn't. He said Steven won't shut up is what he said. He said Steven won't shut up. He told him where to live. He told him where to eat. He told him where to hunt and fish. Like, Steven Adams had lots of opinions about Memphis that he was happy to share. And how you play with different players. And it's very clear he likes to do the things that Steven Adams like to do. And I don't just mean hunt and fish. I mean set screens and rebound. Like, it's they went to get a version of that player, and he 100% embraces it and is wildly enthusiastic about the opportunity to do that here. So I hope he's good. I hope he's good, because he will be entertaining. He will be entertaining. And you know what? They're not that entertaining if they're not good. Do you notice that?
Yes, that seems to be very, very related.
Yeah. And so, but he was great. He was a breath of fresh air. Ty Jerome, unbelievably good. Like, he comes in incredibly thoughtful just about the best ways to play basketball. He, by the way, is in the same draft class as Ja. So he went to Chris Paul's camp with Ja. Like, he knows Ja from way back. And again, he saw this, took less money to be here, saw this as a great opportunity. And talking about playing, like, one of the things that Zach Kleiman talked about, but that became a theme, was the number of ball handlers there are on this team now, right? You got Ja, you got Scottie Pippen. And before it was Desmond Bane being forced to be something he wasn't, right? We saw that all the time, and it seemed to diminish Desmond Bane and wear on him to some extent. And so now Ty Jerome was asked about this, and he said, listen, when I was in Cleveland, pretty much the entire game, I was – you know, either playing with Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland. You know, it was, and you got two ball handlers on there. And we've talked about that. He talked about his enthusiasm for playing in Memphis. He talked about how much fun it'll be to play not just with Ja, but with Jaren and all the things that Jaren can do. So again, he came here, both of those guys very much came here for the opportunity and embrace it. And were incredibly enthusiastic. And Chris wrote about this in his column. Once upon a time, Zach Kleiman was criticized for bringing in too many young guys. Remember, that was three off seasons ago. Well, here's what he did this year. He brought in Ty Jerome. He brought in Landale. He brought in KCP, like guys who are mid to late 20s, late 20, you know, who are established NBA players. KCP maybe slightly on the, you know, on the downward ebb. But and he was not as bubbly as the others, but he's just a total pro. And one of the things Chris talked to him about was his 3-point shooting, which regressed to some extent last year. And so asked about it, he said very openly, and it was like, this is the kind of thing that I guess you could grab and send back to the Orlando folks. But he said, basically, I didn't get the shots in the right places at the right moments. Chris kind of asked him about it. So it's not like he brought up Orlando to drag him or anything, but he said it's consistency of where you get your shots and when you're getting your shots. And obviously
not playing with Jokic.
That is not a team that had Yeah, it's a lot easier playing with Jokic than it was playing Orlando.
And part of my enthusiasm, part of my enthusiasm for KCP is
he's going to get better shots here
with Ja. Yeah,
once again with Ja. And so that was interesting. And then Cedric Coward comes in, and he is just a total delight. I mean, God, I hope he's awesome. Like, there's so much at stake, and in Cedric Coward and what he can become on the court. This was the bet, you know. The bet was the NBA is different. We need wings who can guard. We need wings who can shoot. We need, you know, this group has taken us as far as we can go. And so there's this massive bet on Cedric Coward, and a lot of people raving about him and how he's been looking in the informal things that they've been doing. Jalen Wells said, he was funny. He said he's just jealous of his hands, jealous of the length of his arms and his hands. He said, I can't palm a basketball the way he can. I wonder what I could do if my arms were as long as he's literally jealous of the length of his arms. But he is such a, and who knows, 7 years hence, Ja was bubbly probably in media day one. 7 years hence, we may get a slightly beaten down or at least wizened or modulated Cedric Coward. But yesterday, he was just a total joy. And also, like, talking about history, talking about, yeah, he loves Kobe. That's his guy. But you know what? Who else he loves? Jerry West. Like, he goes back and he watches Jerry West and Wilt and whatever else. Like, he is a total joy. And so there was all of that newness. And then we got the health stuff. In terms of the health stuff, I think the most striking thing was, you know, we got the reports that we got. And Brandon Clark, by the way, did have his procedure yesterday, and I know you'll be shocked to hear this, Jeffrey, but a full recovery is expected from Brandon Clark. So
I think we also had a successful surgery yesterday as well.
Successful surgery and a full recovery is expected. But asked about the injury stuff, what Jaren said was a lot of stuff you'd expect. The timeline is the timeline. I'll do what I'm told. We have the best medical team in the world, all of that. But then he also said, which he has said before and continues to say, I think the fans will be happy. So I would ask you, Jeffrey, is I think the fans will be happy. Although he's saying all the things you should say, not overpromising, the timeline's the timeline, I'm going to do what I'm told, we have the best medical staff in the world. Is that an indication that he really does believe that he will be here on opening night? Because I do think that's what that, I don't think it means he will be, but I think what he is saying is he thinks there's a very good chance. What he is hinting there is he thinks there's a very good chance he'll be there for opening night.
And I throw out all the caveats of I wasn't there, you were there.
Yeah.
My interpretation, if I hear fans will be happy, that means opening night to me.
It means opening night. Yeah. Okay. Did Zach say anything in particular? Like, you know, he talked about the things he talked about. Was they had to you know, he said, the goals are still the goals. You can use all the words, retool, rebuild. We're not focused on those words. We think we can be competitive with this group we have. We need, whatever. And then Isolo continues to be impressive the way he is impressive. Like, someone asked him about pace, and he just basically, he gave an answer that betrayed, it wasn't at all scornful. It was like, it was, you're talking about pace like it's one thing. And the truth of the matter is we use a billion different stats. Like that, you know what I mean? It's like basically saying the way you're looking at it, and he wasn't at all being demeaning at all, but he was making it very clear that it's incredibly simplistic given the way that they think about it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yep. It's not just 7 seconds or less. That's not what they're. And he also said that basketball in the 2030s is going to make this look slow. The things he believes in, our pace, absolutely, a fast-paced effort. And then he kept saying this, very well organized. That's what he kept. Within the pace and the effort, the intensity and the pace, he always would say very well organized. That was sort of one of his themes. He's just an impressive guy when you listen to him talk. But what, to me, is the most interesting thing about this season, and I'll write about it at some point, is, and honestly, the most worrisome thing about this season, I think what the Grizzlies are doing makes total sense as an organization on the basketball court. What they're doing is they took a deep breath and they said, listen, we have to reset here. And that may mean a step back, right? They're not saying that. They're not acknowledging it's going to be a step back, but it may mean a step back. And that's particularly true given the injuries that they have suffered for the start of the year, right? And I think, as someone who wants them to succeed, that is absolutely the right thing they're doing. Co-sign. Like, I am all aboard this new plan, right? I just don't think it meshes very well with where the franchise is in terms of their future in Memphis.
No, I think that's a fair.
And what I mean, like, what I mean,
everyone's kind of on different timelines.
What I mean by that is, this is, and for this, for Memphians, for lease negotiations, for their future in Memphis, it's still kind of up in the air. The lease hasn't been signed. There's no prospect that it will be in the next, you know, little bit. Like, we saw the it was supposed to be this summer. It's not this summer. Well, what's it waiting for? What it's waiting for is, oh, some vague. The Grizzlies never say what they're waiting on because they don't talk about it. But it's a crime to get better, or
They just want to live in a nicer neighborhood.
Whatever. Yeah. Like, and I, by the way, I get that. I do think that if you're signing, I've said it all along, if you are signing a lease in an apartment building, a 30-year, 20-year lease in an apartment building, you want to know the apartment building is going to be a vibrant, safe apartment building. So, but here's the thing. I really think the way that that absolutely manifests itself, they're not looking at the Tennessee crime stats or the Memphis police crime stats to determine whether they're going to sign the lease. You know what they're going to be looking at? Attendance. That's what they're going to be looking at. Attendance. And right now, there is maybe misplaced, but it's a certain, I think, in the city, a lack of enthusiasm or excitement or momentum for the team itself. Because the way the two seasons ago is a complete dog, right? And then last season collapsed at the end. And now you're resetting. And so we're not, and you're going to maybe get off to a slow start. So the problem is that would be all fine for me and perfect and acceptable if I knew that they were going to had a new lease and we're here for the next 30 years, right?
Sure.
A locked in lease. Well, do that, man. Like, whatever. And if the record takes a slight step back and the attendant takes a slight step back, that's fine. This is a learn if we're all in this for the long haul. The problem is, I think they're going to be making decisions about their future in Memphis, which fundamentally I believe they've been committed to, but it's not signed. They'll be making decisions about their future in Memphis in the context of a season that may not spark a lot of excitement.
Sure.
And so I don't think, although I think the Grizzlies' timeline and what they're doing makes all the sense in the world, I don't think it necessarily lines up beautifully with what we need to happen in terms of the lease. And that's what concerns me. Like, do you think, like, in terms of just momentum, excitement coming, how does one measure that, right? Momentum and excitement coming into a season. But compared to 7 years ago when Ja was coming in, when he first started, where are we right now in terms of momentum and excitement coming into this season?
We're a lot like the guys we're a lot like Ja was yesterday at Media Day.
That's what I think.
You know what I mean? We've seen things.
Let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. And then you have the additional complication of everything that's happening downtown and the fact that the National Guard may or may not be coming, but whatever. And while whatever side of that you're on, It's very clear that in Washington, D.C., at least, the impact was fewer people went to out, not more. Like, maybe long term, it'll feel safer and more. But the impact has been that it dampened business. It didn't increase business, right? There's this heightened, whoa, something scary is happening here. I'm not going, whatever. And so I don't think this is a great year to measure Memphis enthusiasm for the team, because I think it's kind of at a, there's a lot of S going on, but I think this is when they're measuring Memphis's enthusiasm for the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of how much good faith do you think Robert Parra is operating under?
I wish he would just say, you know what? I really do wish this. There was one Friday, and again, I didn't do the math exactly. There was one Friday where his stock just went shooting up. And recently, it may have gone up again yesterday. I don't know where it is right now. But in this one Friday, if you Google how many shares he owns, this one Friday a month ago, again, this was rough. It was me accepting as truth the number of shares he owns, and it was his stock literally went up by $6 billion on a Friday. He could buy the Grizzlies all over again with what he made on that Friday. And you wish he would just say, you know what?
Looks like it was August the 22nd.
This is a tough time for Memphis. This is a tough time in the city. And I think he's been a great owner, to be clear. Great. But you wish he would just say, let's just do this. Let's just do this for the next 10 years. What's going to hurt? You know, or whatever. Build some outs in. Let's just show our commitment to this place along with the places, and we will be here through this difficult transition time that's transition time that the basketball team is going through, and this transition time that the city is going through. That's what I would hope, and maybe it's too much to ask, but listen.
I mean, it's too much to ask, because like in the end, I blame Silver for all of this. He has been so obsessed with getting the price of franchise values through the roof, so that in the event that if he wanted to have the option to have expansion, he could ask for an exorbitant expansion fee. But what it's done is all these owners are looking around going like, they got this?
Right. Well, anyway, in fairness, again, Robert Parra has asked, he hasn't asked for a new arena like they built in Oklahoma City. He hasn't, you've seen no demands, you've seen no anything, do this or else, like none of that. So I think he has been, and Zach Lyman said it yesterday. No, Zach Lyman kind of had to say this, best owner in the league. I think he's been a terrific owner. I just worry about where the trajectory of the franchise lines up with the trajectory of the team on the floor this season. That is my concern. Maybe it's going to be, and hopefully you're going to have Cedric Coward arriving as a new star. You're going to have Ja reminding everyone why he is the most exciting, literally the most exciting player in the NBA, certainly the most exciting American player in the NBA. And hopefully, you know, people will do what they haven't been doing across Memphis in all kinds of things, whether it's whether it's the Hoops for St. Jude, whether it's Memphis football, whether it's the Memphis Grizzlies, whatever it is, people have been buying tickets. And people are going to have to if they want this stuff. They're going to have to if they want this stuff. It's like I can say, oh, well, the pandemic changed everything as much as I want. But at some point, it's time to get out of the house and get back in back at FedEx Forum and back at the Simmons.
Yeah, Simmons, how about Bank, they meet Stadium, us halfway?
Simmons Bank Stadium, they have tickets are cheap.
I'm
talking about every player. I'm talking across the board. There is, people are just sitting home. People are sitting home. And we have to, in the end, we got to get back out there. So anyway, I'm sorry. It's a bit of a rant, soliloquy here. But that's my concern about what happened. I just didn't sense a huge amount of excitement, and I want there to be excitement.
It felt like an obligation yesterday.
It's just, and it was an obligation.
Right.
It is a legal obligation.
That, yeah.
And it's just a critical time for the franchise. And so I hope this thing catches fire faster than it seems like it might, is all I am saying. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, talk about other matters. We'll resume talking to Chris Harrington about what unfolded yesterday at media day when we turn. Then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It's the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for a place to eat, I'd suggest Ragin' Cajun. I have suggested it, and a lot of y'all have taken my word for it, and I'm thrilled to get the reports. In fact, over at the Memphis Flyer, Ragin' Cajun, named one of the best new restaurants and one of the best Cajun restaurants, and they've only been around, let's be honest, for less than a year. Ragin' Cajun, of course, is the brainchild of Mason Jambon, who grew up in New Orleans and was like, you know what? You know what Memphis needs? Memphis needs a place that reminds me of the neighborhood places where I used to eat in New Orleans, with a relaxed atmosphere, great outside sitting and seating, and fabulous food. And so that is what he has created. 2740 Bartlett Road. In Bartlett, Tennessee. You can check out the menu at Cajun901.com. It's seafood. It's po' boys. It's great outside seating. It's a great vibe. I've been, and I will tell you, the white chocolate bread pudding. Now, I'm a bread pudding guy. And one of my rules is always get the bread pudding. And literally, maybe possibly like the best chocolate, white chocolate bread pudding, the best bread pudding I've ever had. Absolutely sensational. Oyster po' boy was great. The Houdiette catfish is a reason to go back in and of itself. It's Ragin' Cajun, Cajun901.com. All right, we'll return. We got a busy show. We'll have Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. We'll ask him about his thoughts about the Grizzlies media availability yesterday. And we'll talk to Fish on Friday on Tuesday. After that, our man in Washington, D.C. Before then, though, let's just spend a little more time on the NFL, Jeffrey. Last night, obviously, you wanted to poke your eyes out. That's how bad it was. Troy Aikman wanted to poke his eyes out.
Yes, sir.
So Denver wins handily, 28-3, and the Dolphins beat the Jets. And of course, we get the news that Tyreek Hill, that was just gruesome. Tyreek Hill, I think the diagnosis is mangled knee,
I believe it's dislocated kneecap with multiple ligaments torn.
I'm a bad person because I did think I had a fleeting moment where I thought, well, at least he's not going to be a Chief.
I still never understood exactly how they could do that. But
yesterday I was reading literally a story about his trade. And again, I seriously don't wish that on him. That was gruesome. But about whether his trade value, and the consensus was, you know, could you get a third for him? Maybe there are ways you could do it. His contract it would be a rental. His contract really doesn't go beyond this year. So if you wanted to extend him, you could extend him. But then he also is fighting these domestic violence allegations.
Yeah.
And like, that's not very attractive. I mean, Chiefs don't seem to care about that's a shot. I'm not going to say that about the Chiefs.
Well, I mean, they don't.
Actually, what I really thought was the Chiefs was, if you've got Worthy and Rashee Rice, is that really what you're – do you really need Tyreek Hill? But I thought, like, he was good at the start of last night. He caught a bunch of passes against the Bills. Like, he is a – he may not be what he once was.
Still a good player.
Still a very good player. I don't know if he will be after this injury. And then the Jets – you heard some reaction from a Jet himself last night. What was the reaction from one of the Jets himself?
We had Breece Hall dropping the some teams shoot themselves in the foot. We come back and shoot ourselves in the head.
This is, by the way, how fast you can go from, like, the joy and optimism of media day to the reality of a season. Like,
they even had joy after a loss. Remember, just because in week one they played well.
Right, they played well. And yeah, so now we the Aaron Glenn era was going to be all great. None of that Aaron Rodgers nonsense, right? No distractions, resetting the culture. And it may work. Like, I'm not, again, I don't.
I mean, what were the Lions, Dan Campbell's first year, like, two and
crappy? Like, I don't think you don't.
You have to tear it down.
You have to tear it down. And so, and they have, and they will, and they are. So the question I think emerging from those games last night is, does Cincinnati have to go get a quarterback? And who is that quarterback?
I mean, so I was trying to think of, are there any other options other than Kirk Cousins? Because the one thing you have to just consider with Cincinnati is, like, you have a cheap owner. There's no way he's just going to sit there and trade for Kirk Cousins, pay him, and still have Burrow. So, like, what were some of the other options they could have?
How about Jameis? How about your man Jameis?
They could get Russ.
They could get Russ. Russ,
I mean,
you would rather them trade Russ,
right?
A Giants fan. But who would you rather have?
I'd be fine with Jameis because that means I get to see Jameis with Higgins and Jamar. So sign me up for that.
Yeah, why not?
I at this point I don't know. Like, you cannot keep doing the Jake Browning thing.
I don't know what the Giants want to give up.
I think if they got enough of a draft pick.
Yeah, whatever. And I don't think you'd get much.
I don't know. Give me a fifth.
I think that's right. I think you'd get a fifth. And I think if you're here's what I actually believe. If you're the Bengals and there is no hope that Burrow returns this year, then you might just say, you know what? We sold the tickets we need to sell. We're going to take a gap year here. We're going to pick 12th or 14th. We're going to, and not just 14th in the first round. We're going to pick 14th in the second round and then the third round and then the fourth round. And we're going to get some good players to put around Joe Burrow when he's healthy, because this season, without your starting quarterback, it's lost.
I'm not even sure they'll pick that high.
Oh, you mean leave that low?
Whatever.
You think they'll make higher than that?
Yeah.
The thing is, they already got some wins.
They have two.
Okay, fine.
They have the Lions this week.
They don't have a lottery, but so we're going to do that, and just take a gap year. If you think that there's a chance that Burrow will be back, I think then it's a little bit different. Then you see, you know what, maybe we can squeeze out some wins here. And then when Burrow comes back, we can go 5-0 at the end of the season and get into the playoffs. Otherwise, I don't see the point in getting a quarterback. I really don't. Because make it more fun to get some cheap wins for some of your fans. Maybe if you have to keep Jamar Chase happy. Why are you doing it? Why are you going to get Jameis Winston if Burrow isn't coming back?
What if you think you can tread water? So I don't know how realistic it is to think that Burrow can come back with multiple games left in the regular season, but what if you think it's possible to tread water and to sneak into the playoffs and then have Burrow?
If it's possible to sneak into the playoff, then you can.
Because the other thing about the AFC is when you look at it beyond, like, the Bills.
Well, it's why when everyone said, are the Ravens toast? I don't think they're toast.
No, and I think that's kind of I think this is what has to sting Bengals fans the most, is, like, you finally got the year where the Ravens were, like, vulnerable. I don't think people realized it at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But they are clearly not what the expectation was, and the division was there for you. I mean, I'm now open to the idea the Steelers can win the division, and I don't think the Steelers are good.
You've now got a situation where, I mean, look at what you got. Joe Burrow out. You got Neighbors out. You got James Conner out. I mean, the injuries.
Tyreek is out.
Injuries are certainly. And then we got drama, too. So we've got in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
one of the two undefeateds, A.J. Brown. Man, you got a brand, you got a brand, you know?
And that's a wide receiver one.
And now, mind you, I don't know how I'd feel. How would you feel? Be honestly, you're a wide receiver. You're a superstar wide receiver. You're measured and judged by how many balls you catch, how many yards you eat up, how many touchdowns, all of that.
Well, your money's also tied to it.
And You play for a team that is undefeated, sure, but did not complete a pass in the second half. And the previous game where you had a big game, it was only because they were forced to.
Right, they were down.
It was only because they were down and they were forced to. It is not what they want to do. And so, if I'm being honest, would I really just be happy being undefeated? I just got my Super Bowl. Would I really be happy? I want to catch ball. That's true. Now, would I do what A.J. Brown did? No, I wouldn't. I just sulk internally. A.J. Brown tweeted the following. I guess it's a Bible verse. If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. What do you make of that, Jeffrey?
He's tweeting through it. How many total passing yards do they have in the second half? I know they were 0 for 8 in the second half.
They were 0 for 8. They were 0 for 8. That's zero passing yards.
This is part of the Hurts discourse that just is so annoying, is that the Hurts defenders just can't at least acknowledge, like, he's not a perfect quarterback.
No, I hear it all the time on Sportsman. Like, they're total, they're in the bag for Hurts because of the record.
Yes. And again, I do think he is a successful quarterback. He is good at moving the ball. You have to recalibrate the way you think about it.
And it's incredibly admirable that he is as successful as he is in it, and he has
with having a deficiency. He plays around it.
Would any GM in the league, starting a franchise, given the choice of any quarterback you can take, would anyone take him number one?
No.
Would anyone take him number two?
No.
Would anyone take him number three?
No.
So you're saying, obviously, that
I think the Mahomes, soonest you could talk about him is
Mahomes
five.
And Allen, and you wouldn't take him over Lamar either.
No, the question could
you
become...
You wouldn't take him three.
The question
would you take him... Maybe some would take him four.
Well, the question would be, would you say Burrow can't stay on the field?
But yeah,
say what you want about Hurts.
Burrow can't stay on the field.
But I got him on the field.
Herbert's can't win. It's like the opposite of Jalen Hurts.
Yes. Does all the flashy things.
But doesn't win.
Correct.
So you could have an argument at four. There is not a single GM in the league, including Howie Roseman, who would take him one.
Correct. And I still think they would all take, like, push comes to shove, you're sitting there and you got to turn in the card.
They'd take Herbert, for God's sakes. Most would.
I do think Herbert's where it gets fascinating.
Most would take the big, strong guy who can throw it a million miles. That's what quarterback's supposed to look like, man.
I think you could also talk yourself.
Maybe Howie Roseman wouldn't.
I can see where teams that are in... I could see where it becomes like a where do you play type situation. Teams that are in bad weather environments are going to probably lean to Hurts because, hey, there's going to be a lot of games where we're going to have to not throw the ball just to win. Can we run it? Can we do that?
We have an interesting theory about why we're getting so many block kicks. Why, Jeffrey, are we getting so many block kicks?
So Jonathan Jones over at CBS wrote about this on the weekend because we've had the most amount of block kicks since 2014, and the question was why, and most of the special teams coaches that he spoke to said, during practice, the amount of time we have for special teams, we're all just focused on the kickoff because everybody's still trying to figure out what's the best way to do this, and so...
So they're all focusing on this stupid kickoff.
Correct. And because of that, no one's going live in...
Is that true? Are the numbers like...
The numbers, like last week was the highest we had in 1 week since, I think I looked it up, it was like 2013 maybe.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington. Then we're going to do Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.